I didn't meet my father-in-law until 8 years after I started dating the man who would become my husband. By then, he'd missed so much of our life. Graduations, our wedding, our move from New York City to North Carolina. He was sent to prison when we were newly dating undergrads at Yale. Years later, he was deported back to Colombia. Although I'd never met him, he was both known and unknown to me. A notorious protagonist of several difficult, heartbreaking family stories. And yet, he was also absent, the subject of great silence. My in-laws told tales of the damage he'd done, but they also seemed not to want to talk about him. I was no stranger to family silences, secrets, or shame. As a girl, I'd heard, "A la gente le gusta hablar" often, a warning that anything I told someone could be repeated and used as a weapon against me down the line. I heard, too, "Don't go telling people all your private business." And perhaps my least favorite, "You represent us," as a reminder that I was a symbol of my family. The way I behaved and looked, the things I said and told weren't really about me. They were about the people I came from and showing others that we were good, deserving of respect. We decided to fly to Bogota for a scant 3 days during a short vacation my husband took off from his medical residency. Every child with living parents is one day haunted by the question, how much time do we have left? The question felt especially urgent for us. My father-in-law, whom I'll call Angel here, has schizophrenia and struggles with addiction. In Colombia, without support or family, he has been, at times, without a home. As a doctor, my husband knew the statistics about life expectancy and untreated schizophrenia, addiction, and homelessness. We couldn't dawdle. Before we left, my in-laws advised me to be careful with Angel. I shouldn't trust him or he'd take advantage. I had to stay alert because he lived in a dangerous part of the city. They worried my husband would be vulnerable because of his sympathy and feelings for his father. I had to be the level-headed one. Their warnings made me anxious, but mostly I was curious. I wanted to meet the man my husband came from, the one who'd loved him and lived with him, who'd hurt him and left, and then, eventually, was taken away. He was a part of the story of the person I loved most, and he'd become a part of my story, too. I wanted one day to have a child, and Angel would be a part of her legacy, her blood, her origin story. I am no stranger to a complicated family history. Growing up, I often felt that the life my mother and her siblings had held in the Dominican Republic was the stuff of legend, more dramatic and intense than anything in the novels I devoured. Their stories were of adultery and jail time, betrayal and knife fights, hunger and poverty, splintered marriages, divided families, alcoholism, depression, and grief. In one story, one relative was thrown off a roof. There was so much violence, so many injuries and losses. The stories ended with the family arriving in the United States. I realize now that elevating those family hardships into myths was one of the ways we coped.